The next chapter will address the scale invariance of nature and address the properties of the fractal. The chapter after that will probe the misuse of the Gaussian in socioeconomic life and the need to produce theories. I sometimes get a little emotional because I've spent a large part of my life thinking about this problem. Since I started thinking about it and conducting a variety of thought experiments as I have above, I've not for the life of me been able to find anyone around me in the business and statistical world who was intellectually consistent in that he both accepted the black swan and rejected the Gaussian and Gaussian tools. Many people accepted my black swan idea, but couldn't take it to its logical conclusion, which is that you can't use one single measure for randomness called standard deviation and call it risk. You can't expect a simple answer to characterize uncertainty. To go the extra step requires courage, commitment, an ability to connect the dots, a desire to understand randomness fully. It also means not accepting other people's wisdom as gospel. Then I started finding physicists who had rejected the Gaussian tools but fell for another sin: gullibility about precise predictive models, mostly elaborations around preferential attachment, another form of Platonicity. I couldn't find anyone with depth and scientific technique who looked at the world of randomness and understood its nature, who looked at calculations as an aid, not a principal aim. It took me close to a decade and a half to find that thinker, the man who made many swans gray, Mandelbrot, the great Benoit Mandelbrot. Chapter 16, The Aesthetics of Randomness. The Poet of Randomness. It was a melancholic afternoon when I smelled the old books in Benoit Mandelbrot's library. This was on a hot day in August 2005, and the heat exacerbated the musty odor of the glue of old French books, bringing on powerful olfactory nostalgia. I usually succeed in repressing such nostalgic excursions, but not when they sneak up on me as music or smell. The odor of Mandelbrot's books was that of French literature, of my parents' library, of the hours spent in bookstores and libraries when I was a teenager, when many books around me were, alas, in French, when I thought that literature was above anything and everything. I haven't been in contact with many French books since my teenage days. However abstract I wanted it to be, literature had a physical embodiment. It had a smell, and this was it.